our natural state by a pilgrim. This article was first printed in Vedanta Kesari, volume 33, number 9, page 327, in January 1947, and more recently in the book titled The Silent Power, published by Sri Ramanashramam in 2002. As Bhagavan has often stated, the realization of self is very easy indeed. Here he expresses the same in guiding the sincerely questioning devotee to his own restrained natural state of self-abidance. I was on my long-cherished pilgrimage to Bhagavan Sri Ramana. On the train, I was chewing the cud of doubt. In the December and January issues of the Vedanta Kesari, I had read the answer Maharishi gave to the question put to him by Professor D.S. Sarma as to whether there was a sadhana period in the life of Sri Bhagavan previous to his enlightenment. Sri Dilip Kumar Roy had put the answer in a poetical garb under the caption My Yoga, and Professor Sarma had given his question and Maharishi's answer under the title Sagajasthiti. I reproduce below the answer of Sri Bhagavan. I know no such period of sadhana. I never performed any pranayama or japa. I know no mantras. I had no rules of meditation or contemplation. Sadhana implies an object to be gained and the means of gaining it. What is there to be gained which we do not already possess? In meditation, concentration and contemplation, what we have to do is only not think of anything but to be still. Then we shall be in our natural state. It indeed was an intriguing situation for me. I had read in the life and teachings of Sri Ramana of the severe sadhana he did in the lonely rooms of the big temple at Tiruvannamalai and in the caves on the hill. Now, here is Bhagavan himself denying it all. And more than that, how can illumination come without sadhana? That was something against the word of the scriptures. However, I consoled myself with the thought that at the ashram, I might have the chance of placing my difficulties before Sri Maharishi himself. It was one of those beautiful mornings in Tiruvannamalai. After my daily ablutions and duties, I was ready for the darshan of Bhagavan. As I approached the Maharishi's room, I could feel the peace that was radiating from his room. I entered the room and then came my first shock. I expected to see something glorious, a face surrounded by a halo, etc. I did not find any of these. Has he not said? I was reminded in his answer that self-realization does not mean that something would descend upon us as something glorious. Has he not said? People seem to think that by practicing some elaborate sadhana, the self would one day descend upon them as something very big and with tremendous glory, and they would then have what is called sakshatkaram. None of the biographies state that Bhagavan did any sadhana after coming to Tiruvannamalai. I might have interpreted Bhagavan's period of silence and solitude as a period of sadhana. although it has been clearly stated both by Bhagavan and the writers who have written about him that no sadhana was taking place during this period. That winning smile that accompanied his greeting me meant more than self-realization. He beckoned to me to sit down, and I sat there for more than 2 hours, not knowing the passage of time. I realized then that silence is more eloquent than words. I dared not break the silence to raise my own petty doubts. Later, though, I communicated my wish to place my doubts before the Maharishi, and the consent came by midday. When we reassembled before Sri Bhagavan at 3, I was given the typescript of the question and answer to read, and I read it aloud. I had framed my question thus. Question: you have said here that you know no such period of sadhana. You never performed japa or chanted any mantra. You were in your natural state. I have not done any sadhana worth the name. Can I say that I am in my natural state? But my natural state is so different from yours. Does that mean that the natural state of ordinary persons and realized persons are different? Answer: what you think to be your natural state is your unnatural state. And this was my second shock that shook me from the slumber of my pet notions. With your intellect and imagination, you have constructed the castles of your pet notions and desires. But do you know who has built up these castles? Who is the culprit, the real owner, the I who really owns them, and the I of your conception are quite different? Is it necessary that you put forth some effort to come into the I who owns these, the I behind all states? Would you have to walk any distance to walk into the I that is always you? This is what I mean by saying that no sadhana is required for self-realization. All that is required is to refrain from doing anything by remaining still and being simply what one really is. You have only to dehypnotize yourself of your unnatural state. Then you have asked whether there is any difference between the natural state of ordinary persons and realized persons. What have they realized? They can realize only what is real in them. What is real in them is real in you also. So, what is the difference? Even then, some may ask, the Maharishi continued, reminding me so vividly of those Upanishadic rishis. What is the conviction that one's self is sakshat or right? That no sadhana is required at all for self-realization? Well, do you need anybody to come and convince you that you are seated before me and talking to me? You know for certain that you are seated here and talking to me. When we read a book, for instance, we read the letters on the page. But can we say that we are reading only the letters? Without the page of the book, where are the letters? Again, we say that we are seeing the picture projected on a canvas. No doubt, we are seeing the picture, but without canvas, where is the picture? You can doubt and question everything, but how can you doubt the I that questions everything? That I is your natural state. Would you have to labor or do sadhana to come into this natural state?